Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you. If you've got a Bible, please do turn to Genesis chapter 11. And my name's Simon. For those who are visitors this evening, I'm one of the ministers. And over the last couple of months, we've been journeying through the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And this evening we get to Genesis, end of 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. And I think we'll return to chapter 12 next week because it's very important, but I just want to tee that up, as it were. Before we tuck in, can I just, for those who, the gift day came as a bit of a surprise, say there's a second opportunity next week for a blessing. So if you were unprepared tonight and you want to join in with what God's doing here, then please do bring your gifts next week. Can I also say that I'm aware it's very warm this evening, and please don't sit there and suffer. If you're feeling a bit dizzy or a bit, do get up, do go for a walk. And there is water available at that back door there. Perhaps if the stewards can fill that up and make sure there's plenty there over here on my left and behind this pillar on the right. And don't worry, you won't distract me if you sit there fanning yourself with anything that fits the hand. Amen? I'm not sure that was an amen moment, but some of you might think, amen. Just let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray that from these foundational passages and foundational stories and events in the life of the people of God, Lord, that you'd speak to us and that you'd apply it to our own journey with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I don't intend to talk for too long this evening because we're going to get to the most wonderful event, a baptism with Cooper going through the waters. Genesis 11, verse 31 says, Terah, and we had read the genealogy, Terah took his son Abram, who later became Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. They were heading for Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. They started out on a pilgrimage. They had a destiny. They had an objection, but something stopped them. And they ended up settling in Haran. There's an old classic that a few of you here will be old enough to remember by Gene Pitney called 24 Hours from Tulsa. Anyone remember that? Let's not sing it. I know you're tempted to, but we're not going to this evening. But let me read some of the lyrics. Dearest darling, I had to write to say that I won't be home anymore, for something happened to me as I was driving home. As I pulled in outside a small hotel, she was there. And so I walked up to her and asked where I could get something to eat, and she showed me where. I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. She took me to the cafe, and she asked me if I would stay, and I said, okay. It's a letter that he's writing to his beloved. They don't write them like that anymore, do they? With lyrics and a story and substance and mood. Anyway, there it is. And on the way home, on the way somewhere, with destiny and journey, but something cut in, and he said, okay, when he should have said, no way. And the problem with terror was that he said, okay, when he should have said, no way. I got 2 points. The first is that terror finished just where he started, and Abraham finished what he started. Firstly, then, terror was more than 24 hours from Canaan, but he stopped and he said okay when he should have said no way. And he never made it home. He never made it to the home that God had planned for him and prepared for him, and that was in his heart. 4,000 years ago, Terah was heading for Canaan. The scriptures don't tell us why, but we may surmise. Was it because that was a particularly lush and fertile part of the Fertile Crescent? Perhaps. Perhaps it was that he had a desire for a new beginning, a new start. In that little passage that was read to us at the end of chapter 11, we read that his daughter-in-law was barren, and we read that his son, Haran, had died. So maybe there was a brokenness in his heart. Maybe he was just overwhelmed by disappointment. Maybe he thought, this place where I am in Ur of the Chaldees is a place where there is no blessing for us, and it's just marked by curse, and we need to get away from here in order to step somehow out of this shame, out of this disappointment, and into some sort of blessing. Or perhaps he had a prophetic sense of the destiny that awaited his family in the land of Canaan. Canaan became the promised land. That's what it was named. It became known as the land of milk and honey. It was the land that God promised, God covenanted to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed for 1,000 generations. In Canaan, God would reveal himself to them in a particular and personal way. He would make himself known, disclose himself as the one God over against the numerous nefarious idols that were there in Ur. In Canaan, God was going to bring a people into being. And through that people, God intended to bless the whole world, indeed, through one of those people, to save the whole world. In Canaan, God would give this people a particular model of life with him, to model that to the world. In Canaan, God would dwell in a temple amongst this chosen people. In Canaan, God himself would incarnate and flesh himself and dwell amongst us and reveal himself to us and be killed by us and die for us in order to save us. In Canaan, God would raise up a particular people and send them out with the good news that would transform the world. And in Canaan, the Messiah would return one day, his feet touch the Mount of Olives, and there tie up the whole of history, and there judge the nations, and then rule on David's throne in a new heaven on earth, in a new Jerusalem. Canaan was pregnant with promise. Canaan was pregnant with destiny. And I wonder if Terah didn't sense that somehow deep in his being. this little bit of land, 120 miles by 50 at the widest, would become the most important bit of real estate in the world. That would change the whole of cosmic history. And Terah had a part to play in it. And so he ups and leaves Ur of the Chaldees and he's heading for Canaan. He's more than 24 hours from Tulsa, but he was heading somewhere and then he stopped. Jewish tradition believes, not Holy Scripture, but the rabbis believe that Terah himself received a revelation. And he himself, as Abraham subsequently received a vocation to go and begin God's great work of revelation and redemption of the world in Canaan. The problem was he blew it. So Terah leaves Ur of the Chaldees. It's near Basra in Iraq. And when he was there from 2100 BC, it was a center of worship of the moon god, a very famous mud brick ziggurat that is still there, to the moon god whose name incidentally was called Sin, S-I-N. So Terah makes this journey, and it's an awful long journey. It's a 600 mile journey all the way up the river Euphrates, and he arrives at Haran in Turkey. And I think this was just a stopping off point. Maybe they were there just to replenish their goods and refresh themselves before moving on. We don't know. But he stops at Haran. And this also, in that part of the world, was a center of moon worship. He should have kept going. But instead he stopped. And he stopped and then he stayed and then he got stuck. It's interesting that his name in Hebrew actually means loitering. And Terah should have lived down his name. Why did he stop and not press on for Canaan? Why did he stop? If he'd had a vocation, if he'd had a vision, a revelation, a sense of call, an understanding of destiny coming through him and his people, why did he stop? We don't know. Was it idolatry? Perhaps. It says in Joshua 24 verse 3 that Abraham's family were idol worshippers. According to Jewish rabbinical teaching, Terah was an idol maker. And so did he stop because suddenly here he was somebody. On the road he was nobody, but here he was somebody. And here was a place. He didn't have to ache, no aches and pains. Who wants to be a pilgrim people? Much better to settle. Who wants to live in a tent? You can live in a mud brick house. And then he can make idols, and he makes idols. He can make money, and he can make a name for himself. And he's caught, and he's bought out of his vision. So you can take the man out of Ur, but the important thing is to get Ur out of the man. And the problem was not Haran, the problem was not Ur, these centers of idolatry. The problem was the idols that had his heart. Because there was this split, the schizophrenia in his mind, in his heart. He wanted, he began the journey, he began well, he wanted that destiny. He wanted that promised land. He wanted that fertile crescent. But because there was this landing pad in his soul for the flesh and the demonic, because idols still had him, they got him. Or was it because of soulishness that he stayed? In 1128, it says that his son called Haran had died young. No father wants to bury their son. It's wrong. His son in Hebrew was called Haran. But here they come to a place, and in Assyrian, Arcadian, it's called Haran. They're two different words with two different roots, but they sound exactly the same. And was there something soulish in his emotions when he got there, that the name Haran, albeit Arcadian, reminded him of Haran, his son? And he felt for his son, and it reminded him of his son. And because he hadn't healed and been dealt with that, he hadn't dealt with the past, he couldn't go and take his future, and he was trapped there. Sometimes our emotions, our past, our story, our pain can trap us and keep us from fulfilling the destiny that God's got for us. It's not as obvious as the demonic. It's not as obvious as idols or money or stuff. Often that gets many. But sometimes it's just pain and the desire for comfort. But he was looking for healing in the place that couldn't heal him. The only place that could heal him was the land of promise, where his seed would produce the next generation and so on. Or was it the demonic? I think the demonic was undoubtedly involved here in circumventing this journey, because the demonic too had a sense of destiny in the land. The demonic had a sense of the future, and was someone going to come from terror who would strike his heel? Did the demonic see that and just try to stop the story right there in its tracks? Before they even get to the land, God doesn't want the world blessed through Israel. God doesn't want Israel blessed by God. So God sought to the demonic sought a preemptive strike. Stop it with terror right at the start. So he makes a 600-mile journey only to end where he began. Not in the same place geographically, but in the same place spiritually and personally. He started out, in fact, maybe he ended up worse. He ends up an idolater in an idolatrous city, not there as an agent for good and for God, but selling out. And how many do that? So many Christians set out, as it were, from Ur of the Chaldees, heading for Canaan, but they're just taken out. They had a sense of vision and vocation and God's purpose for their life and destiny, but they're just taken out by the things of this world. They're just caught 24 hours from Tulsa. And they stopped and they said, okay. I was teaching on this theme in another context last week. It's online for those who might want to listen. It's the same. It was the same theme, really. I was saying then about friends of mine, how many of them are no longer going for God? Who used to go and go to the 3 days and all-night prayer and go on mission and give sacrificially and love God and just, you know, weep before him with joy and contrition and just seek his word and be thrilled and revel in what he was showing, and then just nothing, just God gets crowded out by life. How many of them are just no longer going up to the house of the Lord? How many of the students, I had a privilege of talking to a group of students this afternoon, and I was a student chaplain years ago, and I wonder how many of those students are no longer going for God because they just got taken out. They started well. You know, the word Haran in the Assyrian language, HRR, I don't know how you pronounce it, I tried to find out, probably like her. It means to be free. It means to be free. But it was a lie. It lied. The demonic always lies and says it offers one thing when it offered the very opposite of what it claimed to offer. He'd come to a place called Be Free. And he wasn't free, he was caught. And so often we look at things and we think that's where freedom lies, but actually that's where the chains lie. Nelson Mandela's autobiography, you remember, was called The Long Walk to Freedom. And Canaan was a long walk to freedom, but terror chose to remain and be enslaved. And I want to encourage you this evening, maybe just for one person here this evening, Maybe you find yourself confronted with options, decisions, a choice. You know God has called you before. You know he's spoken to you. You know his word. You know his ways. But maybe you're confronted right at the moment by a decision. Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe it's something to do with work and employment. Maybe it's to do with a relationship. I just wonder if God isn't saying, actually, 24 hours from Tulsa, this is not a moment to say, okay, it's a moment to say, no way. No way. This is a pathetic illustration, but I was reminded when I wrote it, it was the only thing I could come up with. The day I handed in my notice from work to go and be a preacher, and I was going to go and be a preacher, living by faith, nothing, just on prayer and trusting God. 30 years ago, that day, I handed it in and they said no, and they offered me a double promotion. And a big pay rise, a double promotion. And they was, oh, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do that for you. We see your potential. No one's seen it since, but they saw it. And amazing. I've often thought, oh, what if only I'd done that, I could have lived there and had this and progressed. And I might never have met my amazing wife though. But so often we're bored out. That's the point. We're caught out and we're bored out. Mandela goes on, I have walked that long road to freedom. I've tried not to falter. I've made missteps along the way, but I've discovered the secret that after climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. I've taken a moment here to rest, to steal a view of the glorious vista that surrounds me, to look back on the distance I've come. But I can only rest for a moment, for with freedom comes responsibilities, and I dare not linger, for my long walk is not ended. God wants to say to some of you, you dare not linger, the long walk isn't ended. That's the first thing. Secondly, and quicker, Abraham finished what he started. Terah ended where he started, but Abraham finished what he started. So verse 32 of chapter 11, Terah dies aged 205. And then 12 verse 1, now the Lord, and in our reading it said, had said, but the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. There was a very famous Methodist Bible commentator called Joseph Benson. And he said this about Abraham's response. He said, in a sort of, you know, waxing, he said, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. His obedience was speedy and without delay, submissive and without dispute. Except it wasn't. That just isn't true. It's rubbish. In 12:1, when Abraham is called, that translation conveys, I think, the right sense, according to the New Testament, that God had called Abraham, or that the call came a second time. You see, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, the first martyr of the church, as he's being martyred, refers back to this story. And he says this, hear me, brothers and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, depart from your country and your relatives and come to the land that I will show you. Amazing. Some people read that and go, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. Na, 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 na. No, it doesn't. The Bible is a commentary on itself. And it is clear that God had already called Abraham before in the land of Ur of Chaldees. And so actually, whilst Terah may have received a revelation, Abraham was only partly faithful to the vision that God gave him. And Abraham got waylaid, perhaps by parental responsibility, and that was understandable. But I think Abraham put God on hold. Abraham said, God, on my terms, because we got to deal with the family. Famous Chinese church father, Watchman Nee, said, God told him to leave his country. Did he? Yes, he left. But God said he should leave his kindred. Did he? No, He only left part of it. Lot still came. And God said he should leave his father's house, the idolater. Did he? Well, he took his father's house with him. And Abraham's leaving was not his own decision, but it appears the decision of his father. However we cut it, it would appear from Acts 7 that Abraham didn't follow faithfully. But then the call comes again. And in 12 verse 1, it comes again. Why? Because God is gracious and God is generous and God is kind and God just doesn't want to end the story and begin again somewhere else. And God understands of what we're made and he's prepared to put up with our frailty and our fickleness and our humanity and the fact we blow it. Terah could have got up and gone at any point until he died, but he didn't. But Abraham, the call comes again and God says to him, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. It's just translated in the NIV as, you know, get up and go. But actually it's much stronger than that. Lech means go in Hebrew. Lecha means to yourself. Go to yourself. Not go to Canaan, go to yourself. Why? It's just so rich. Because in fulfilling God's call on his life and going to that land, he actually discovers who he is and he becomes himself. Kierkegaard wrote in his journal after making some serious decisions about his life and his relationship one Easter, he said, now, by the help of God, I'll be myself. And Abraham, up till that point, wasn't being himself. Now he's got to be himself and he's got to do what God has called him to do. And he's going to find himself and he's going to fulfill himself and it's going to happen in the land. And we're going to look at that, I think, next week. He gets up and he goes. And maybe God is saying to some of you here this evening, Lech Lecha, go to yourself. Go and be yourself. Stop running with the crowd. Stop being pressurized by social media. Stop conforming to fashion. Stop being molded by culture. Get up and go to where I've told you in order to be who I've made you to be and to find and fulfill yourself. Terah finished where he started, but Abraham, as we know, finished what he started. And we're now going to have a baptism. And we got a great man. He doesn't come from Tulsa. He comes from about 3 hours away in Texas. Are you from Dallas? Dallas. And here's a man who's heard the call of God. And here's a man that, and God has said, go. And he's got up and he's gone and he's found himself and he's becoming himself and able to fulfill what God has put on his life. Dan, would you like to come up?